gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, Hump Days with Hal, hour number three. We also have Representative Peter Welch of the great state, great but teeny tiny state of Vermont.
That's right.
Teeny tiny.
He's the only representative from Vermont.
He's a regular size representative from a very small state.
Yes.
He's of normal size.
But it's a beautiful state.
Right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller.
Here I am.
There you go. That's a microphone with a button.
Interesting.
All right. Okay. We have lots to get to. Let's see. Jim writes, guys, the other day you were talking about a listener who was high while listening to the show, and Jim made the comment that it was morning for everyone who was listening to the show live. Not so. I listened to you from Tunisia on the internet radios from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Wow.
We could move to Tunisia and do afternoon drive and not have to get up at...
That's stupid o'clock.
Right.
And go to bed at...
Insane o'clock.
Tunisia.
We would
that's
be in Tunisia.
That's a bit of a commute, I think.
And I think you'd have to wear a burqa, actually.
Sorry. Just having a little afternoon drive fantasy. Okay. I'm back.
Okay.
All right. Looky here. Stephanie Miller, journalistic oversight. First of all, it's hard to, nobody uses journalism normally in the same sentence as
Stephanie Miller.
But apparently, I have made a journalistic oversight. Dear, I guess this would be a complaint letter, technically. Chris in Chicago writes, Dear Ms. Miller, I'm a small businessman who just stumbled across your show sometime in 2004 or 2005. I am hooked. I won't mention about Miller and Howell on WCKG.
Oh boy.
Yikes. Now we're going back. I was at Miller and Howell in the morning, WCKG, everybody. When was that, Chris? When is that? I'm too old to remember.
In the 80s, wasn't it?
Right. Right.
The late 80s.
Right.
Oof.
Sure. Ooh, that hair. The original nose.
Yeah.
I love my nose in Chicago.
I left my nose
right
on Lower Wacker.
Right. That's where it is. They whacked it off on Lower Wacker.
That's why they call it that.
There has been a dire journalistic oversight on the Stephanie Miller Show for months. I can't understand it. I have not heard anybody say sweaty in the who for months now. Yeah,
sweaty in this who.
Right.
Technically is.
Yeah. I don't. I have. I apologize. I will see you at... Oh, we have it? Oh, that's right. This is where it came from. Yeah.
Are we about to get it just a little sweaty in this who?
Yeah.
Baby.
Right.
Baby.
Mm-hmm. I will see you meet and grope. Fourth row.
Whoa.
I'll be the unreasonably excited guy laughing hard enough to cause damage to my own internal organs, which means I'll blend right in with everybody else doing the same thing. Chris in Chicago, who I believe he might be referring to.
Chicago, yeah. It's time to stand up for your sexy amendment rights.
A well-intoxicated media being necessary for the sanity of sexy liberals. The right of the people to laugh out loud shall not be infringed.
That's right, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Windy City to fight for your right to keep and bear all. If you haven't witnessed this epic, record-breaking comedy tour before...
What the f*** are you waiting for?
And even if you have, do it again, because... Live at the Chicago Theater.
Steffi.
I'm sexy and I know it.
On April 13th, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and the darling of progressive media, Stephanie Miller, are bringing a whole new level of naughty comedy to Chicago. Tickets are available by going to Ticketmaster.com. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live at the Chicago Theater. For your tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com.
No background check required.
Okay, I get it. I get why you played a 60-second thing, because people on TV can see you're trying to fix my phone line.
Yeah. They messed it up last night.
Thank you, Schneider. Is it fixed? No, it is not.
Well.
Computer says no.
No, it is not.
No?
But we will.
Okay.
We might have to play a longer promo.
We'll try.
All right. These damn TV cameras, they can see what we're doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
There is no more behind the scenes.
No. We've lost our behind the scenes. Damn you, we've lost all our privacy. Okay. Who agreed to this? Oh, me, when
yeah.
I was drunk. All right. So we lots to get to, including a hug. This was what I was saying at the top. President Obama's approval rating has dropped to 42%. Americans blame him and Democrats almost as much as Republicans for this fiscal mess. Just what
Thank
they were
you,
counting
David
on.
Gregory.
Yeah, just what they were counting on. Exactly. That's the thing. Most people don't even, you know, it's just they watch the Chiron on TV. It's just, are both sides equally to blame?
Oh, I saw it on TV. It must be the case.
Oh, well, that must be true, then.
If they ask the question, that must be the answer.
Right. It's like, literally, the mainstream media is doing the Fox question. That's what, if you ever read Fox Chirons, you're just like, what? Just the premise is ridiculous, however. All right. So that would make you, Jim, a well-sequestered man.
Hmm?
That would make you, Jim.
Because he gets up in the morning and he shuts us down by nine. Cuts off all the aid to helpless. It's the same thing every time. Because the world is built on obstructing anything that can be fine. And it's not too good. And it's not so fine. And it's so selfish.
Rocky Mountain Mike.
And that was by the Kinks.
Right, right. Who doesn't know that?
Mm-hmm. You were in rock and roll radio for a while.
That's right.
WCKG, actually.
I guess we mentioned
Howlin' Miller.
Late 80s.
The Kinks were a hit by then.
Yeah,
the Kinks
I know.
Were a hit in the 60s.
Right, right. I remember.
The early 60s.
They had a hit in the 80s.
I know.
Come Dancing.
They had a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We just had a little former radio DJ explosion there. Ready to come back. And I started in oldies. Think about that. When I was young, I was in oldies. What's the irony in that? All I remember is playing Band of Gold like 1,000 times. No borders. Nothing lovely, everybody. Here comes Band of Gold again.
You know they play songs from the 80s on oldie stations now.
Yes.
That's how old I am. Now I'm really old.
The 90s are oldies now.
Yeah, I know. Nirvana. Smells like teen spirit. That's an oldie now.
Smells like middle-aged spirit.
Oh, boy. All right, Senator John Cornyn on the sequester.
President Obama reminds me of the little boy who cried wolf.
Oh, boy, that's nice.
And his little credibility boy. Has been strained by claims in his administration of pink slips for teachers that we find out weren't going to issue as a result of the sequester.
Huh, nice. You dropped a little boy reference in. That's nice.
Great.
Has the benefit of being patronizing, condescending, and a little bit tiny racist. Nicely done, sir. They're the ones saying these are going to be devastating and they're dumb cuts and whatever. So now they're trying to like play gotcha with the president on specifics. And meanwhile, they're trying to put forth bills to stop the military from being hurt. So they know these are dumb cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Okay. Oh, by the way, speaking of credibility and John Cornyn, have you seen this story? Nearly 2 weeks have passed since Senator John Cornyn told tens of thousands of Twitter followers that a friend is seeing 300 illegal border crossings a night on his South Texas property.
Oh, a friend?
That is trafficky.
Have we talked to this friend?
Democrats are demanding details or a confession that he's simply making stuff up. Who's your mysterious friend, John Cornyn? The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee wrote in an email, putting a spotlight on Cornyn's as-yet unsubstantiated claim.
And the sequester is hitting border security as
yes,
well.
Yes, maybe that's why the friend is seen.
Uh-huh.
Hundreds and hundreds of
thousands
a night. Okay. Janet Napolitano on the...
sequestration, it's like a rolling stone. It keeps picking up speed as it goes downhill. We could see a lot of misconnections. Mm-hmm. Average wait times to clear customs can increase by a significant percentage. We will not be able to pay TSA workers overtime. I'm not trying to alarm you. It's just doing the math.
I don't think he uses speeds.
It'd be hard to even get him to roll at all.
Yeah.
He just lay there.
And he wasn't into the speed. He was into the heroin. Yeah.
So he couldn't gather speed, technically.
Of course not.
Right.
You just kind of sit there when you're on heroin. You don't really move.
You really have to give him quite a shove for him to be a rolling stone.
Yeah.
You have to sober him up, get him to stand upright first. All right. excuse me, Paul Begala, our buddy, our pal, wrote it. And there's you'll be proud of me, there's a tad bit of Obama naysaying.
There is. And I was debating on whether to send this to you or not.
No, but I think that the polling, this is the problem, is... I think it comes from a place that the president's just, he's better. He believes better of people, and maybe he shouldn't, because these Republicans are awful.
Mm-hmm.
They're just historically, unprecedentedly awful. Okay, so and this is this is the problem we were saying that they're trying to take the president and Democrats down with him, and to some degree
and
they're
he's letting
succeeding.
Them.
Yeah, but I mean, this is Paul Begala writes about Barack's blunder. I'll take John Boehner at his word. I mean, this is the thing that was not supposed to happen. Presuming the other party has some modicum of concern about the country.
We know they don't.
Yes, but because this happened in the first place, because they would have let the United States default. So that's, first of all, unprecedented. But anyway, Paul Begala writes, one reason the manufacturer crisis of the sequester is because the White House somehow believed reason would triumph over partisanship.
You should know better by now.
Yeah, and the president was questioned about this back then. He quotes him as saying, I'll take John Boehner at his word that nobody, Democrat or Republican, is willing to see the full faith of credit of the United States government collapse.
Oh, you're wrong.
No, but if you listen to his original speech that we all fell in love with him, you know, the red states and the blue states, you go, I think he really does believe in that America. And God bless him. But this is a new breed of Republicans that I've never even seen. And this
I used to believe in Santa Claus, too.
Right. and that would not be a good thing to happen. So I think there'll be significant discussions on the debt limit vote. That's something no one ever likes to vote on. But once John Boehner is sworn in as Speaker, then he's going to have responsibility to govern. He can't just stand on the sidelines and be a bomb thrower. Wrong again, unfortunately. Begala writes, Barack Obama is a remarkably gifted politician, but his cardinal political error has been that at times he seems to lack the imagination to even conceptualize how truly nihilistic, irresponsible, partisan, yet crazy his Republican opponents are. The last Democratic president saw the Republicans shut down the government, squander millions on partisan witch hunts, including taking 140 hours of sworn testimony, investigating President Clinton's Christmas card list, and drag the country through an impeachment process. Despite that history, and despite that Obama may be dealing with Republicans who are even more ideological and self-destructive than in Clinton's day, he's still expressed a blind faith in their reasonableness. Begala goes on to say, our president, however, is nothing if not smart, so he has adapted. Fortunately for our nation, I skip down. The president seems to have hit upon a strategy that works. Republicans are more divided and more extreme, while Democrats seem to be more united and more mainstream. This is the latest poll, by a 3-to-1 margin in the latest Wall Street Journal NBC News poll. Voters say the GOP prefers partisanship to national unity. It seems our supremely rational president has concluded that rather than trying to reason with his irrational adversaries, it's better to fight off the bad guys and defeat the forces of reaction. He's talking about it, that he's been out, at least on the road, talking about this. Yeah. And I don't know what else you can do and try to bring public pressure to bear on these people. But they're just, I was reading a headline today that now that they've gotten these cuts, it's like any hostage crisis. Now they want more. Now Paul Ryan's talking about, privatizing Medicare even more.
Right.
Like what? They're like, now that we have some cuts, now let's really get... It's,
right,
what?
And going back on his promise to not change the age.
Right, the age.
Yeah.
Medicare. It's,
How can you trust that party?
Yeah. I mean, literally, they're all on record as saying these are dumb, destructive cuts with a meat cleaver. Now they're like, well, this is good. Let's do more.
They have a spending revenue.
They'll say one thing to try and get elected during a campaign, and then they'll just completely go back on those promises.
Yeah, they're literally like, well, shooting a hostage, it's like Chinese food. You know, you shoot one of them an hour later, you're just hungry to shoot another one.
But Obama's been letting them do that, letting them get away with it.
Even I didn't see this coming. This is really...
But you should have expected it, because they are asshats.
I shouldn't have. I'm a fart joke comedian.
They are asshats over there on the right.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Finally, talk radio you can dance to. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when...
Stephanie Miller.
Come for you, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when...
Stephanie Miller.
Come for you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lee in Nevada. Hi, Lee. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I would like to know what you and your panel think day in and day out.
Panel?
Fox
Pay
News.
Attention.
We have a panel?
Yes. Go ahead, Lee.
Fox News and Larry Kudlow keep saying what a socialist our president is. When he took over, the Dow Jones was 6,000. Now it's at a record high.
Yeah. Sure.
How do you say that? How do you say that, Lee, in the same segment? The Dow is at a record high, and the president's a socialist. I mean, how do they pull that off?
That's my point. That's my point. And they keep repeating it, Stephanie.
Yep.
And Larry Kudlow is just as bad with the corporate profits hitting record highs, and they don't hire anybody.
Yep, absolutely.
Just far-right propaganda.
In China.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, this just in, Chris Lavoie, a really bad producer.
What?
He forgot to tell me that was an online poll.
ABC News, they're a bad news organization because they didn't mention it was an online poll.
All right. We are passing the buck to ABC News.
Yes.
All right. So we take back that. Even the skosh of Obama naysaying I threw in from Paul Begala, I take it back now, and so do you.
Do I?
Yes. I was saying that it looks like the
president's
approval
rating
and Democrats are coming down along with the Republicans over the fiscal mess. And that was an online poll, notoriously unreliable.
I'm sure his approval rating has dropped a little bit.
Paul Begala did quote the, the actual poll, the Wall Street NBC news poll that shows by 3-1 Americans view the Republicans as more partisan.
Yeah.
Which, how can you, even if you pay a skosh amount of attention, you'd have to be able to pick up, wouldn't you?
Most people don't pay a skosh amount of attention.
Well, they obviously do because it's 3-1.
But Obama just keeps hoping that the Republicans would be reasonable and thoughtful and do the right thing, and they won't.
Yeah,
they just want to destroy him. That's
That's
their sole goal, and they've admitted it.
Yeah. Obama's maybe too good of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get a crappier guy as
president.
Well, not crappier,
not
more ruthless.
Yeah, more
Anita in San Antonio. Hi, Anita. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Steph. Good morning, Steph. Good morning, panel.
Yeah, thanks.
Yes.
They shall be the nameless panel from now on.
Okay, let's call them the nameless panel.
Yes.
Steph, I'm sorry, I'm a first-time caller.
That's okay.
First-time caller. Okay. I don't understand why the president is still expecting these people to be reasonable. They wanted him. They tried desperately to try him to make him a one-term president, and now they seem determined to make him a failed two-term president.
Right.
And
like they tried to do with Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're not going to be reasonable. They're never going to deal with him. They're going to just continue to try to find ways to destroy his place in history.
Well, that's the thing, Anita. Paul Begala does make some good historical points because you think, boy, just when you thought they couldn't get more partisan, because as he said, they did shut the government down. They did drag the country through an impeachment process that, as you recall, nobody wanted. 70% of the American people didn't think President Clinton should be impeached over his private life, remember?
Oh, I remember that very well.
So, the fact that we have an even more partisan brand of Republicans, it really is fairly stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I don't understand why he's dealing with them, because when it seems to me his popularity rises when he just, he talks about, progressive values.
Right. But the way,
and when
right.
He,
right.
When
I got you.
With them, yeah.
I got you. I mean, unfortunately, the country's set up that he has to deal with them. You can't go, oh, why do you deal with them? That's the. All right. Right-wing world. And by the way, Bill O'Reilly loses his in right-wing
he
world.
Does.
So we will, do that live.
Do it live!
Yeah. Right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It feels like Bieber.
It's a
nothing feels like Bieber.
What?
I'm sorry? Say what? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jody in Michigan on Fox News. Hi, Jody.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I have a question.
Yes.
I understand the First Amendment, right? Right to free speech, but I am extremely concerned and wonder why Fox News is able to pass off their
go ahead.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Yes,
okay,
you are.
Okay.
Sadly, perhaps for both of us. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I understand the First Amendment, right? Okay. But how does Fox News get away with calling them news without some type of a disclaimer that they are not reporting facts?
That's, that is a good question. It's a good question. How does that happen, Chris?
I have no idea.
On a daily basis.
The FCC doesn't worry about that sort of thing. They worry about dirty words.
Potato chips, everything needs to be labeled. Some fact settling may have occurred. something. All right, let's dive into the
facts. Should have quotation marks.
Yes.
Right.
These facts are
or just news should have quotation marks, then it would be fine.
This news is packaged by weight, not by volume.
Right.
Some settling may have occurred.
Right, may cause gastrointestinal distress. Might like a less for potato chips. Maybe they should Fox. Wow.
Wow.
Right. It should be
fun.
It should be renamed Wow. All right. But what's not fun? It's actually, it's entertainment. It's not news. It's entertainment. And what's more entertaining when the Bill O'Reilly loses his on a liberal? In this case, our good friend, poor Alan Combs.
Program. Hold it, because now I'm getting teed off of you. Give me one damn program he said he cut.
He has cut
what?
Entitlements. He has cut
not entitlements. One program.
Why do you want to yell at me?
Because you're lying.
I'm not lying.
You are lying.
Don't call me a liar. Don't you sit there and call me a liar.
No, you're lying.
I'm not lying.
Hey, here's the proof.
You don't like the president. You don't like what he's doing.
Give me.
But don't sit there and call me a liar.
I am. Give me one program.
Look, we can have a disagreement without you calling me a liar. That's not necessary.
No, you're lying.
That's not necessary.
You are lying.
I'm not lying. We have a disagreement. There's a difference between having a disagreement and calling me a liar.
Yeah.
That's a personal attack.
This is why I'm calling you a liar. Give me one program he said he cut.
He would cut Medicare and Medicaid.
That's
he would actually cut
a specific
offered cuts
program.
To those.
Yes, it
he
is.
It is a specific
you
program.
That, those are programs.
What an idiot.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a moron.
Wow. That's not a program.
Oh, my God.
Medicaid is a program.
Yes. Yes. This is the whole, because, it, you know, what the problem is they won't let anyone puncture the storyline. That's the Republican lie.
And
the president has not proposed
Obama's
any
been,
cuts.
Been bending over backwards for them, including a chain CPI and all this means testing. And
wow.
Wow. It seems if you have truth on your side.
Shut
you don't
up!
Need, you
you're
don't
a
need
liar!
To get that exercised.
Truth is a lie!
My goodness.
And to Alan Combs' credit, I mean, he kept his cool as much as he could, but...
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Wow. Okay. And Bill O'Reilly, again, has he settled down now? Okay.
Do it live!
No.
I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Okay, here we go. Bill
As O'Reilly. You may have noticed, I'm getting very frustrated with President Obama. And it has nothing to do with ideology.
Yeah,
it has to do
right.
with performance.
Right.
It's
and
obvious
race.
To anyone
can I say that?
Attention that Mr. Obama is not trying to solve the fiscal
Oh, shut up.
He does not want to cut spending and will not put forth any specific plans to do so.
Wow.
He will also not give his vision on entitlement reform, things like Social Security and Medicare, which are draining the Treasury. I mean, the president's the leader
what?
Of the country.
No, they're not.
It's his job to get the debate started with concrete proposals.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Obama simply will not do it.
It's on his
the
website.
The great detriment of the nation.
It's on his website.
God. Whitehouse.gov.
Yeah. Social Security, chain, CPI, all of it. Everything. It's
on
his website.
It's on the website. Read. Look at the website. But he's asking for... loopholes, tax loopholes for the rich to be closed as well in order to get more revenue. Shut up!
Wow.
Liar! Shut up!
Wow. See, he seemed much more comfortable with just his space to just put the lies out directly without
right.
anyone interrupting it with any sort of facts.
I think he needs to be in some kind of program.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you suggesting?
Some place with the
someplace
soft
with
music
birds.
Playing and
yeah.
padded walls.
Right. With pretty birds, and you can see the
and
the
a nice
grass.
Comfortable jacket.
Right. That makes you feel snugly.
Yeah.
That makes you
They're
feel
coming
spooned.
To take me away, ha-ha.
A
They're
jacket.
Coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful all the time.
A jacket that makes you feel spooned
yes.
permanently.
Yes.
It makes you
where you can't hurt yourself.
Spoon yourself.
Where you can hold yourself. Okay.
And rock gently.
Right, and rock gently.
Back and forth. That's where Bill needs to go.
All right.
We're just helping.
All right, helpers. Mary Madeline and Hannity. Oh.
This is why people are so cynical about government and the presumption that we're so ignorant that the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, would not choose to cut non-essential positions. You just said there's 400 job postings over not canceling a deployment of an aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf or to releasing illegal immigrants. Are we that stupid or is he that irresponsible?
He's a demagogue, which I think is the answer.
That's your answer to everything, because you're a pinhead. To quote your friend Bill O'Reilly, who should be in a facility somewhere.
Okay. All right. Jim's in a mood, and we're only two sound bites in. All right.
Boy.
Laura Ingraham, Fox News.
At some point, the overreach does happen. I mean, Obama is not invincible. I mean, he won a second term, and people say, look, that's all you need to know is he won. Well, he did win. And at some point, they're going to look like they're not adults. They're campaigners. They're really good at that. Messina's brilliant at it. But the country is suffering. And it depends on how good the Republicans are at actually setting the table here. In the past, they've been pretty abysmal at messaging and explaining this to the American people. Right. Are they going to be better this time around? We'll see.
Well, they'd have to lie.
If only we had the adults like the Romneys in charge. Everyone saw that charm, that magical charm again when they just reappeared.
Stop it.
Yeah. She's right. She's right. There's no adults in charge now. Okay. Is it me or is it the congressional Republicans that have been in a perpetual tantrum since we... Okay. Brian Kilmeade, Fox and Friends.
The president's real goal, and it really makes sense. This isn't a rumor. He's getting money together, picked up the phone and called Nancy Pelosi, says, my goal is to make you speaker again. So the next 2 years, he's going to be spending campaigning, raising money to the tune of $50
million. So that's what politicians
called politics.
Yeah. Right. You mean to get a reasonable Congress back that he can work with? Well, that's
great.
She's going
to be helping other people to positions of power in the government. Who does that?
I don't think Brian Kilmeade quite understands how government works.
All right, that's because he's been hit with
There a box with a lens on it looking at me? What is that?
Why is that red light still on?
I think Brian Kilmeade was hit in the head with a bag of glass.
What is this? What is this thing in front of me? Why is it there?
It was there yesterday. It's there again. Okay.
Poor fella.
Every day is like a new rice ball. And he's a slow Loris.
What's that? There's this bright thing coming up on the horizon. What is that?
Ooh. His wife, Mrs. Kilmeade's like, honey, it's the sun. Remember yesterday? Yes. We went over this. Yes. Right. Remember? It'll
this happens every day?
It'll go back. Yes. Go back down tonight.
Brian Kilmeade is a total slow Loris. Oh, my God.
Children, nice. Children, come on. Go in the other room. I need to explain to Daddy about the sun again. Oh, God, it's almost sundown. Look out. All right, honey.
It's dark.
Yes.
What happened? Where'd the bright thing go?
Remember, every night it goes down at the same time almost, and then it again tomorrow. All right. Children, go do your homework.
He shouldn't have changed his name from Dillweed.
That was a little impromptu skit.
It was.
The Kilmeade family, brought to you by the Stephanie Miller Players. We hope you enjoy.
The panel.
Right, the panel, as I call them. And I call you private life, too.
I know.
When you come to my house, I'm like, oh, panel, hi.
We're particle board to you.
Thanks for coming. Hi, panel. Rush Limbaugh.
Look, if there anything positive happening in the economy, if there are any positive numbers, they're fake.
Hello?
But beyond that, the regime is going to get credit for it.
The regime.
The Republicans aren't going to get credit for anything.
The stock market. Look at
any
the stock market.
Good numbers are fake. Like the Dow?
Is fake.
Are they making up the Dow
completely
now, too?
Fake.
I thought they were just cooking the jobs numbers.
Wall Street is fake.
Wow, we.
You go to Wall Street, it's just a Potemkin village. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. And we end with
it's
Lou
the
Dobbs.
The backlot at Universal.
We end with Lou Dobbs on Fox Business Channel. And that means we're the first three people that heard this.
We're watching inexplicably, without any voice from the Department of Homeland Security, we are watching another purchase of 7,000 AR-15 like rifles. We are watching 2 billion rounds of ammunition, principally 40 and 9 millimeter. What in the world is going on as the Homeland Department, the Department of Homeland Security seems to be arming up and the administration's trying to disarm American citizens?
Oh, come on.
Okay, no. I saw a story about this. It wasn't the Homeland Security Department. It was the Marines that put in an order.
The Marines are arming themselves?
The Marines are armed.
For rifles and ammunition.
What? The Marines have guns?
Has Brian Kilmeade told Brian Kilmeade?
The Marines have guns. Hold me. I'm scared. Where's the bright thing? Where did the bright thing go?
Homeland Security did not put in that purchase order.
Honey, it's the sun. It's the sun. It's the sun. It's the sun. Okay.
Oh, God, Lou Dobbs is an idiot. Wow. Oh, my God.
Is he, Brian, the Marines are armed.
Oh, no.
All right.
The Marines have guns. Perished, I thought. Oh, they don't hide in the basement. We don't have a basement.
Okay. All right, that
our peek into the Kilmeade household.
Is Alex Jones writing for him now? For
Brian Kilmeade?
For
Lou Dobbs. Yeah, I don't. That's a wow. That was a little. That was a nice try at fear mongering, wasn't it?
Wow.
But it was completely false.
Okay.
You got a completely different part of the government.
All right.
I think it's the Onion writing
no wonder,
group. I think it's the Onion.
No wonder he's relegated to the Fox Business Channel.
All right. All right. We'll peek back in on the Kilmeade family later and see what latest thing Brian is startled by. All right. 45 minutes after the...
There's a lint ball rolling across the floor!
It's okay. It's okay. All right. It's all right, honey. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She gets insulted by more right-wingers before 6 a.m. than most people do all day. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I see what you're doing there.
What?
Playing Billy Ocean.
It really means nothing.
Because we were trying to think of another skit for the Kilmeade family. Brian Kilmeade, who we just played in Fox News, perpetually startled that the president might, fundraise, try to get, other Democrats in that he might
what?
Be able to work with in Congress. It's a whole new, yes.
How did that happen?
Startled by everything. Startled by the sun rising and setting every day.
What? A bright thing in the sky. What is that?
Honey, sun again, remember? Reviewed it yesterday.
Okay.
And now we bring you the Stephanie Miller players, the Kilmeade family at the beach.
Ooh, there's a lot of water. Oh, it's coming toward me. The water's coming toward me. What am I going to do? Oh, now it's going away again.
Right, that's remember.
Where's it going?
Tides go in and out.
Why does it do that?
In and out.
Where's it going?
Tides,
come right. back, water. Come back. Oh, there it is. Ah.
Thank you. This has been another edition of the Stephanie Miller players. Oh, imagine the seasons in the Kilmeade house.
Oh, my God.
Imagine every fall. What? The leaves are going off the trees. Why are the trees barricaded? Remember?
Are the trees sick?
No, honey, the trees are not sick. Remember, this happens every year at this time. The leaves fall and spring. So,
what are those white things falling from the sky?
Winter, very disturbing.
It's cold!
Snow. It's winter. Winter in the East Coast. Right. Okay. All right.
Why are my hands so cold?
Okay, here's your mittens. Remember, they're attached to your sleeves.
He wears mittens.
and the hat with flaps.
Ooh, I want to put my tongue in the lamppost. I want to put it on the lamppost. I want to lick it.
Spring, equally upsetting. Why are there so many green things everywhere? Where's all the green? Okay, why? Is it Soylent Green? No, it's okay.
What are those growing from the soil? What is that?
What are these bugs again? Oh! It's summer. It's mosquitoes. It's okay. You're on the East Coast.
Those are daffodils.
Yellow makes him...
Panic.
He needs medication when yellow appears.
Oh, God!
Oh! Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eddie, please feel free to chime in. Things Brian Kilmeade is startled by. Doug in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Doug.
I ain't playing with us anymore.
Hello? Okay, Doug's talking to someone else.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about the... Hi, Steph and
Hello.
Chris and Jim.
Yes.
I'm calling
Panel.
About the popularity drop in Obama's polls. I don't think it's anything that the Republicans said because, they're always stupid. I don't think there's a change there. I think what Obama's saying about Medicare is scaring some of the progressives. We don't like him dealing with
you want to take a listen to what Paul Ryan's saying about Medicare because how wowee! Facing speculation he may update his Medicare privatization plan. Those are those handy-dandy vouchers.
Yeah.
God. Again?
We need to find that voucher hospital bit, don't we? To include changes for Americans older than 55. Remember, he said he would never touch anybody.
Except now.
Oh, no. Okay. I was kidding about that. Representative Paul Ryan facing speculation he may update his Medicare privatization plan vouchers to include changes for older Americans older than 55, people his prior budget exempted from reforms in order to fulfill his Republican leadership's promise to align revenues and spending within 10 years. Well, he's probably not even answering his mother's calls. Remember, he used his mom as a campaign prop, didn't
yeah.
he?
Mm-hmm.
Now where she is.
Yeah. Where good doctors have bold ideas. Voucher Hospital.
Voucher Hospital. Brought to you by Ace Hardware Stuff.
Nurses to the nurses station.
Dr. Ryan.
Hello, Mary.
Well, I've got good news and bad news.
Yes?
First, the bad news. You need a bypass operation, and it costs $167,000.
And the good news?
The good news?
Yes.
I have a voucher here.
This is for $2 off an extra value meal at Wendy's.
Oh, wrong voucher. Here you go.
Okay, this is for $2 off a $167,000 bypass operation.
You're welcome.
Will Mary get her bypass operation? Will Dr. Ryan be able to use a voucher for 18 holes at Pebble Beach? Tune in tomorrow to Voucher Hospital.
Well, if he drives on the Paul Ryan Expressway, he's not going to get very far.
Yeah.
No. Shiklunk. That part of the road's not finished. Okay. Oh. Everybody's tuned this on Paul Ryan Highway.
Every direction's the wrong direction on the Paul Ryan Expressway.
Expressway, right.
Yeah.
Robbie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Basically, I mean, I just wanted to, I'm always thinking about this. And, you know, I know people always throw around the idea that Obama's a socialist and all that. But, you know.
Yes, people that are dumb will throw that around,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, and people without dictionaries.
Right. Yes.
But they never ever talk about how Republicans are acting like fascists. Mm-hmm. That's the word that never comes up,
yeah.
But it's basically the same thing. I mean, they're working off capitalism and they're working off the people in control, suppressing the people below them, and exactly what the Republicans are seeming to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't understand why do they always call out the word socialist, but they never call out the word fascist?
Because we're not name callers like those idiots.
Right.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Well, it's a dog whistle. You know?
Yeah.
Socialism. I don't know what it means, but I think it's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way,
is this a, well, yes?
There's already a hashtag on Twitter, things Brian Kilmeade is startled by. So go ahead and
by the Stephanie Miller Players.
So go ahead and submit your own suggestions under that hashtag.
Kilmeade's at the beach in the last 20 seconds before we came back for a commercial. We just thought of that. Okay.
These things in the end of my fingers, they're growing. What's happening? And they're on my toes,
fingernails,
too.
Fingernails, toenails.
Brian, just clip your nails.
Honey, we talked about it yesterday, remember?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God, I have to get my hair cut again.
It keeps growing out of my head.
It keeps growing.
Okay. Remember barbers? Remember we talked about this? Remember the poles? Remember?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Remember you get a lolly?
Lollipop, I like lollipop.
Okay. Hey, is this a good idea, U.S., to allow small knives to be carried on the planes?
That is not a good idea. I saw that this morning.
Is that all about? Great.
Like pocket knives.
Now we have longer lines and the opportunity to get shivved on a plane.
Great.
Awesome.
I mean, if we can't have butter knives, we shouldn't be able to have pocket whittling knives.
Right. Were they going to allow whittling now on planes?
Sure.
Why?
Why do you need a pocket knife on a plane?
To whittle.
I think they frown upon that. It makes a mess.
If you could whittle more leg room in coach.
You know who likes to whittle on planes? Barbara Walters. Hello.
Hitler.
Whittle bit.
I need to whittle.
I like to whittle a little bit.
Okay. I don't know.
Whittle me this, Batman.
All right. Wow. Roger Ailes, Fox News chief Roger Ailes, reportedly called Newt Gingrich when you prick your finger on something?
Yes.
You said that to his personal spokesman. He said that Newt Gingrich was a sore loser after he blamed Fox News for supporting Mitt Romney during the primary. Mm. He also went on to say, I have a soft spot for Joe Biden. I like him, but he's dumb as an ashtray. Really? Okay, you could say a lot of things about Joe Biden, but not that he's dumb.
He's not dumb.
No. No. Nice try, Roger Ailes.
I don't think they're going to get that Joe Biden booking now.
No.
No.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
The This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer or from your smartphone or tablet like I do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They're amazing. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For my special offer, GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter that promo code, Stephanie, won't you? We continue with our meme for this morning. Things Brian Kilmeade is startled by.
Oh, where's the water going? There's the water, and now it's gone. Where'd you go?
Oh, no, it's back. Look, honey. Oh, look, it's
back. Oh, it's back.
Right. Remember, that happens every day. Okay. All right.
Happens every day when you evacuate your bowels.
Mr. and Mrs. Kilmeade.
She must be a saint.
All right.
What are these things on my feet?
I was going to make a cable joke, but I never mind.
Yeah. All
right. He's on cable is my point.
He is on cable.
All right. And just seems perpetually startled by everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he was originally startled by the fact that sometimes presidents campaign for other people in his party.
They fundraise and things like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's money in politics? How does that work?
He's such a little lamb.
It's like he
wakes
up.
He's a little lamb.
He wakes up blinky. Every day is a new Christmas morn.
It's like 51st day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Who are you?
Every day is screaming goat day for Mrs. Kilmeade. Okay, Brian, stop screaming. Yes, the sun's up again. Oh, God. Children, go get Mama some more of her medicine for her orange juice.
What are you suggesting about Mrs. Kilmeade?
Nothing. Nothing.
Brian, where's my Thorazine?
What have you done with it?
Children, can someone shoot Marty in the neck with the dart again? No, actually, probably it's for Mr. Kilmeade, probably the tranquilizer dart.
Yeah.
Children, shoot Daddy. With the dart, so he'll calm down. Just so we can get through sundown. Okay.
Well, he acts like he's been shot with a dart just before he goes on the air every morning.
No, he looks like he's been hit with a plank before he goes on the air because his eyes are slightly, like, a little googly. Like, and 3, 2. Welcome to Fox and Friends. Okay, Andy in Auburn.
What's that thing staring at me? What is that?
It's the camera again.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Right. That's what, remember the red light's on? Okay. Andy in Auburn. I think just everyone in Fox News, like the staff, is medicated. Everybody around is medicated. Just because of his overstartled response. Okay. Let's see. Andy with the headline newsbusters are...
Andy?
...sees. Oh, my.
Oh.
Mama, as a... let's see. Yesterday I was listening to the... last week we were talking about... I make newsbusters every week, so...
Sure.
You also mentioned looking through the comments section... I was thrilled as I waited in there only a few hours before to defend Mama, but you didn't see anything I wrote. Why? Because the webmaster deleted them.
Oh, really?
Meow.
They don't care for dissent over there.
See below. You can still find the responses to my snarky condescending comments, but the comments have been redacted. What a bunch of
whoopsies.
No opposing views allowed in that echo chamber. Hoping to be the official grave-digging guitarist of your show.
Oh,
we needed one. Okay. They don't allow anyone to defend Mama in the Newsbusters comment section. Well,
they're a bit thin-skinned over there, aren't they?
Goodness. All right. Oh, dear. More bad news for IKEA. If that's your favorite restaurant, here's some more bad news for you.
Mm. The furniture is made of horse meat?
Right. Okay. I've had problems with my stool there before.
Sorry, what?
I bought a stool.
Probably because you ate there.
No, I bought an actual stool.
Oh, okay.
That was the story, is it cost me more to get a handyman to put the stool together. Because it's a stool like this big, and it came in like 75 pieces.
Right, but there are it comes with instructions.
Not
they're
that
in Swedish, but...
Right, in Swedish. And you're in the bathroom because you ate the meatballs. The horse meat meatballs. I think, I'm not saying I know. I think they're made of Rafalka. I'm just guessing.
They had to dispose of Rafalka somehow.
Loser.
It was no use of use to them anymore.
We do not... The Stephanie Miller Show has no information as to what happened to campaign prop Rafalka. Sure, she could be grazing. Could be doing lots of things. Okay. IKEA recalls chocolate cakes after fecal bacteria is detected.
Yeah. The help has been working at IKEA, apparently.
The Romney's help that works at IKEA.
Octavia Spencer.
Would you like a pie? Oh, my God. In one magical degree of Stephanie Miller Show separation, Hot Brie... Melissa Fitzgerald, friend of the Stephanie Miller Show, good friends with Octavia.
Really?
Really?
Yes! Yes.
I did not know that.
From Actress from the Help.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, a week after pulling horse meat-laden meatballs, the furniture mega retailer is hit with yet another food scandal.
Another food scandal.
Right, that's what they said in the boardroom at IKEA. There's poo in our pies. This time around, it's the chain's chocolate almond cake, which Chinese authorities found contained excessive levels of coliform bacteria, which is present in
poop.
Fecal matter.
I think, but this is only in China. It's only in China. It's not anywhere else.
Right,
well,
right,
yeah.
Well, right.
That explains it.
Sure.
I think any level of fecal matter.
Right, that's what I was
going to
say. What is an acceptable level? What do you mean excessive level? Just,
but there's
that is just the right amount of poo in my pie.
Yeah, but if
and
if
there's lead and melamine in here too, and Chinese drywall.
Yeah, if you're eating bottom feeding fish in your sushi though,
yeah,
you're pretty much guaranteed to be eating poop of some sort.
Okay. All right, I
just think
and you eat sushi.
I do
a lot
incessantly. All right.
Just saying.
Right.
No wonder you're so thin. You've got all those critters
eat a,
inside
I eat a lot
here.
Of fecal bacteria.
No, Anna, you've got parasites eating away at you.
Okay. Stanley in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Stephanie. And panel.
Panel.
I'm a new caller, retired in December, and this is one of the pluses as I met you guys.
Oh, thank you. Where are your new retirement friends?
Oh, I was one of those exploited part-time teachers at two schools, no bennies, one-third the salary.
Oy.
Yeah, but anyway, my comment is the greatest Republican stupidity, in my humble opinion, which is to call President Obama a traitor because he advocates socialism. Even if he did, where in the Constitution does it say what economic system we should have?
It doesn't. No,
Britain,
you're right.
Instituted it in the 1940s and voted it out in the 80s, and I wish the American people were more aware. I wish the media would say more about that.
Yep. All right. Well, we just did.
Let's ask Brian Kilmeade what he knows about.
Right. Angela in Maryland.
What are these green things in my wallet? Who's money. That guy in the green thing?
It's money. It's money again.
Good morning.
Angela has some more things that Brian Kilmeade is startled by. Hello, Angela. Good morning.
Yes, I put chocolate and peanut butter together. I think that startles him a lot.
Oh, you can't do that!
All right, thank you.
But they're two great tastes that taste great together!
Okay, Bill and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Boy, if you could absolutely guarantee that you could extricate yourself, it might be kind of interesting to spend a minute or two in that guy's head.
No.
Okay, no. But anyway.
There are nothing but swirly colors going on in there. That's it.
A lot of pinwheels.
Yeah.
Here's what we have since the, quote, debt ceiling crisis. Over $2 trillion in cuts, and we got a 0.4% increase in taxes for people making over $400,000 a year, and a 2% increase in taxes on the working poor and middle class. And last week, the president said at his press conference that he is open to changes in earned benefits, and none of those earned benefits have anything to do with the deficit that we're in right now. He's also said that he's for the Bull-Simpson grand bargain. So,
I don't know that he's playing chess
while the other guys are playing checkers.
Bill. I don't think he has endorsed the Bull Simpson just the way it is. I think he thinks there are some good ideas in there.
Grand bargain.
And so did Boner. They had both been about ready to make it, and Eric Cantor came out and said, "I told Boner not to do it."
Before the debt ceiling crisis, both houses increased the debt ceiling twice. And they were ready to do it again. Boehner and McConnell are on record saying, well, if we have to do it, we will do it. And Obama went for this sequester deal. He had the whip hand then, and he didn't use it. He's got one more chance, and that's coming up.
Right, but Boehner was dealing with his crazy Tea Party caucus. Do you really think a lot of them were actively rooting for not raising the debt ceiling? I don't think it was a game.
Well, we can't go back and say what would have happened, but
well,
they did
we
it
just
twice.
Did.
They did it twice.
All right. All right. Okay. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. If my aunt had him, she'd be my uncle. Okay.
Should not have even opened up.
Pam in New Hampshire, you're on. I just feel naysaying coming, and then I just cut it off. Hello, no, Pam in New Hampshire.
You ignore it.
Pam in New Hampshire. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good, because I've been standing out in the cold, so I don't lose my signal, and it's snowing, so I hope you're nice and warm. I don't understand why we just don't shut the government down. It's not working. Maybe they'll come to revenue, and when Wall Street freaks out, maybe they'll come to their senses, because we're losing everything anyway.
Yeah, I feel like we need to reboot. You know what I mean? My iPhone was acting up, and I remember you always telling me, just turn it off.
Just turn it off and then turn it back on again.
Turn it back on. I'm like, oh, it's all better.
Yeah.
I just shut reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down. Shut her down. Okay. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dale in Georgia. Hi, Dale. Welcome.
Morning, y'all.
Good morning.
All right. The president is handling the sequester and the Republicans in the correct way. He has learned that they will break every promise and deal that they make and then blame him for it. He's playing hardball with them. He knows the Republicans are wholly owned and operated by their wealthy donors.
Mm-hmm.
And that Boehner's, Senator Boehner's, looking glass, you know, Alice in Wonderland public statements are because he can't reveal their real agenda. And we know what the agenda is. I don't need to go into all that.
Yep. No, you don't. We get it. All right. So, I love, we talked about this yesterday. It's like kids pulling out vegetables they like and leaving. Well, when we used to throw the peas under the bench in my kitchen.
Right.
Because I didn't like the peas.
And the dog would eat them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That analogy kind of wobbled off into the ether. But anyway, so now they're trying to sort of undo the sequester, but, you know, like a Chinese menu, like what they like and what they don't like. They're trying to... A Republican measure to keep the government operating would ease some of the pain of automatic spending cuts slamming the Defense Department. And I love this. The measure would fail to provide money to implement Obamacare or to overhaul financial regulations. So the things they don't like,
mm-hmm.
any kind of financial regulation or affordable care. I mean, this is just it's no way to govern.
No. It's maddening.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody's poll numbers are dropping, unfortunately.
Thank you. Well, I accept that poll you gave me was a bunch of... Well,
yeah, but
because it's an online poll. Okay. New York Magazine, Jonathan Chait, love him.
He's good.
Yeah. He writes, the GOP budget divide, don't know versus don't care. The Republican Party's public stance on the budget wars is that President Obama is to blame for refusing to support cuts to retirement programs. Lie. Okay. Now it's sort of a tricky stance to maintain because Obama has publicly declared his willingness to cut spending on retirement programs and even outlined his position. The interesting split within the Republican Party is between those Republicans who understand this fact but choose not to acknowledge it and those who don't understand it and those who don't really care. In the first category, the Boehner. I talked about this all week when he was on Meet the Press. He appeared on Meet the Press where David Gregory admirably and quite unusually confronted Boehner with the existence of the White House proposal that Boehner won't acknowledge. Boehner declared there's no plan from Senate Democrats or the White House to replace the sequester. Gregory reminded him that Obama does, in fact, have such a proposal.
Yeah.
Boehner replied, well, David, that's just nonsense. Do you remember that part? Yeah.
Nonsense. And then David just pulled up his iPad at whitehouse.gov.
Yeah.
There you go.
If he had a plan, why wouldn't the Senate Democrats...
Where's the plan? I don't think... Oh, there's the plan.
All go ahead and pass it.
Brian Kilmeade startled by a plan.
Jonathan Chait writes, that's an incredibly strange response. Senate Democrats do have a plan, but it won't pass because Senate Republicans are filibustering. Even if they didn't have a plan, and even if there were no filibuster, how would this negate the existence of Obama's plan?
We're filibustering this plan which doesn't exist.
Boehner then segued into an unrelated talking point about how great tax reform would be. I love that part. We would love tax reform. David, Republicans want tax reform. Of course we do. Gregory steered him back to the question, why not trade tax deductions for cuts to retirement programs? Boehner replied, listen, I worked with the president for 2 years to try to come to an agreement. Unfortunately, we've not been able to do so. Right. Obama has a deficit plan, but Boehner couldn't come to an agreement on because Eric Cantor told him the House Republicans wouldn't approve it.
Right.
Cantor has said this himself.
Wow.
Himself. Boehner then repeated his claim that Obama refuses to get serious about spending.
They're not serious about spending. They're not serious.
despicable. And Gregory again noted that Obama has a proposal to cut spending. Boehner just repeated his position.
There's no proposal to cut spending. This is not serious.
Since my members are so crazy they won't even let me negotiate, it's not a strong message to bring to a high-profile showdown. Boehner can't say that. Instead, he's going with the time-honored method of just saying a bunch of words about politics until the interviewer gets tired of it and moves on. What's more noteworthy is the large camp of Republicans who seem inclined to believe Boehner's version, which is complete crap. Thank you, Jonathan Chase in New York Magazine, and that's where we are.
Great.
Michael in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, lady. How are you? You're a fine panel.
Thank you for calling. Oh, lady in the panel. Thank you for calling.
I simply have a bone to pick with you guys.
Okay.
You reflexively view campaign as prerogative.
Huh?
Because some of the tan man and all those stuff, and the president's running around doing all this kind of stuff. But I think we should embrace campaign because that's what they've been doing. It's been a campaign of terror, a campaign to undermine rights on the opposite side of that.
No, we haven't said campaigning is bad. They keep accusing the president of campaigning as if no president has ever, you know, tried to sell his ideas and get the public on his side.
Let him campaign because that's the only way he's going to get anything accomplished.
All
because we campaign for women's rights, we campaign for civil rights, we campaign for repeal of DOMA.
That's right. It is fine for a president to campaign. It's startled as it makes Brian Kilmeade.
What? How does that man talk? Why do they let him talk so much? Who is he?
President.
Why is he there?
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling lady in the panel. Okay.
What is going on?
I don't know. Today's weird. Jen in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show real quick. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Stephanie and Luke. How are you?
Good.
Good. Listen, I am on the Stephcast timetable, so I'm always a couple of days behind.
Mm-hmm. How much does that cost you?
$4.95 a month. Bling.
We buy you in advance. Thank you.
That's how I have no fear of commitment when it comes to Stephanie.
Good.
Hello now. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, a few days ago, Hot Bree was on, and she was really upset because she couldn't understand why in the world they wouldn't allow for sex education. And then a couple of weeks ago, you talked about this lawmaker in Texas. I cannot remember the details, but it was this guy wanted to have firearm education in public schools.
Right.
And it occurred to me that these are the same people who, like, freak out if the kids have a condom on a cucumber, but they want them to handle firearms in the classroom.
Yep, exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
On TV! The girl from TV. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste. Nothing works faster, lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. Love it, love it, love it. It's not that sickly sweet kind of toothpaste and, you know, the blue, like,
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't burn.
Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, so we've been talking about the, how many times can you say unprecedented Republican obstruction?
Mm-hmm.
But so I believe John McCain and his Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham.
I declare, oh, my stars.
Still having the vapors over Benghazi. And now they need information on that in order to confirm Brennan to the CIA, because he has absolutely nothing to do with that either, just like Chuck Hagel had nothing to do with it. But, I declare! I need some answers on Benghazi!
Well, what's the question?
That's not the point!
I think they are out of questions. Answers.
He clutches his pearl necklace.
Okay, here he is, Jay Carney, the press secretary.
John Brennan's nomination ought to be considered on its merits, on his qualifications, not on disputes about an issue that did not involve John Brennan's nomination to be the CIA director.
Yeah.
Well, he should have been involved. Why wasn't he involved?
Okay, let's go to Shirley in Phoenix.
Well, never.
Why was there such a pause after Pearl Necklace?
I have no idea.
That would allow thought bubbles to be filled, and that's just wrong. Shirley in Phoenix, you're on these.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Oh!
I just basically wanted to say that why every time Bill O'Reilly is quoted or Fox News, why nobody has that clip about Jon Stewart and Bill O'Reilly having that debate. And it came out that Bill O'Reilly pretty much admitted, yeah, we do it for money.
Right.
And when I go back, I'm going to do it for more. Please have that clip every time you say Bill O'Reilly's name. I want MSNBC to do that. I want everybody
right.
just to bring him down.
But
this is what they're all about, the propaganda.
What did he say? Admitted he's that he's paid to be nasty, basically?
An a-hole.
Oh, well.
Oh,
all right.
Well.
Yikes. Okay. I do that for free. nearly. All right. Jebby.
Uh-huh.
Jeb Bush says it pains him Mitt Romney isn't residing in the White House. Oh, I'm sure it does.
Oh, yeah. So,
but acknowledge that his campaign wasn't the best, I must say. Jebby, he's like, trying to get out. Is he moonwalking back from his last immigration?
I don't know what he's doing now.
If we want to create an immigration policy that's going to work, we can't continue to make illegal immigration an easier path than legal immigration.
What? Oh, boy.
Wait.
He's flip-flopped all over the place on this.
He's worse than a trout on a dock.
There he is.
So going forward, we broke this last year, going forward, if there is a difference, if you can craft that in law where you can have a path to citizenship where there isn't an incentive for people to come illegally, I'm for it. I don't have a problem with that. I don't see how you do it, I'm not smart enough to figure out every aspect of a really complex law.
Imagine that, Bush admitting he's not smart.
And he's
the smart one.
Yeah.
Jeb
was a smart one.
So he doesn't stand by what he just wrote in his book that he's now promoting? Because he wrote that last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, last year. Come on.
Speaking of book, George H.W., he did it, wrote a book.
Didn't want to do it, but did it.
Right. It offers intimate observations about the low points of his son's presidency.
Oh,
well, that's
going to
be quite a volume. It's going to be quite a large volume.
There were high
volume.
Points?
Yeah, there's going to be reams and reams.
Discovering the low points would be... Wow. Yeah, what were the high points? I love this part. He writes, my heart went out to him after Hurricane Katrina. Oh, to his son.
To him, not to the people of New Orleans.
No. Because he was obviously treated so unfairly.
Heck of a job, Bernie.
Mm-hmm. He said the critics don't know what's in 43's heart. It's kind of weird that they call each other by the number.
Yeah, no.
Critics don't know what's in 43's heart.
Never
how deeply he feels about the hurt, the anguish, the loss
the
is affecting so many people, most of them poor.
Now watch this drive.
They're so poor and so...
Remember Barbara Bush? Yes, it's that compassion that runs through the Bush family. Yeah.
And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Wow.
Yes.
It's like
I'm sure he genetically understands the depth of the anguish there. Okay, that was... Wow.
There's a lot
Although
of water
it did not
debris.
Top Wolf Blitzer, you're right.
I thought I had that in there, but I don't.
Oh, the people here, look at them. Jim.
So poor. So black.
Oh, perhaps I shouldn't have said that. Okay. He really did. He really did. He said so poor, so black.
We'll have to leave it there.
Yeah.
Granted, it was an ongoing breaking news situation. So he might have been there for a little while. It might have been a little crazy in the head.
Uh-oh.
I mean, haven't you been, like, really, really tired
when
broadcasting?
However, it led to one of the funniest bits Aisha Tyler does on the Sexy Liberal Tour that she said, almost every day she says that to her to her husband. She comes in and says, at lunchtime, I'm so hungry, so black. All right. Okay, Raj.
Thank you for your job, Blackie.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez. Raj in Los Angeles.
Let me say that was Newsbusters. That was Jim Ward.
That was Jim Ward. Yeah. Raj in Los Angeles. Hello.
Yeah. It's definitely the Republicans before the elections, November. A lot of fear-mongering was going on not to vote for Obama. One of them was the stock market will crash. but after 3 months, the election, stock market is all-time high. So
yes.
This is the problem. You know, the economic, you know, democratic economy policies are the best. You know, even, you know, the past Democratic presidents, stock market has risen 10 or 20% more than when the Republicans were president.
Right. Yep.
So you know, the what's going on now in Washington, D.C., these Republicans are scared that the policies Obama will put in will work. Otherwise, they why don't they have the guts? Let his policies do that. Yeah, and if it doesn't work, then Republicans will win the next election. But if it works, they will lose everything.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's what we just can't keep saying enough. The deficit has fallen under Obama. The level of government spending at the lowest since the Eisenhower years. Mm-hmm. It's just
stock market is near
record
highs.
High. Yes. Yeah. Okay, Jim, who's
other than that?
I think conservatives in general got in the habit of talking to themselves. I think that they, in a sense, got isolated into their own little world. So did our pollsters, many of whom were wrong about turnout. You just have to sort of say, to some extent, the degree to which we believed that the other side was kidding themselves, it turned out, in fact, to be the real world. That is part of what makes politics so fascinating. Turned out, in the real world, we were kidding ourselves. Who said that?
Senator Joe McCarthy.
No,
I have in my hand the
Newt Gingrich. Gingrich.
Frankly.
Wow.
Gingrich doubted into reality for a minute.
Oof. What happened? There?
Maybe it was breathing your air space.
Right.
That
flying coach
on the flying coach.
Made him a man of the people.
Right. He breathed the same coach air I did on U.S. Airways to Charlotte. Robert in North Carolina. Hi, Robert.
Hey.
Hey.
Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
I've always wondered why y'all don't show Dick Cheney on the Sunday morning talk show saying deficits don't matter. Ronald Reagan proved that.
That would
be a
helpful clip. You're right.
Please do it every day and expand on it.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Yes, please, get that. Do it every day.
Don't
do it.
Matter. There, I said it. Well, there I go again.
All right, Deb in California. Hi, Deb. Welcome.
Hey there, you guys.
Hi. Welcome to Lady in the Panel. Hello.
I wanted to speak on behalf of the thousands or millions or whatever it is of us that just love you.
Aw, thank you.
And T-Bone's really, really great. This is my second attempt at getting a vocabulary. I'm calling for a couple different reasons, mainly that we need to remember that even though our eyes glaze over when we look at those frontline pieces or when we look at things, you know, that don't have ads and it's all factual. Anyway, I looked at one of these things the other day from last week, it was a frontline piece, and Eric Cantor is the reason whoever gave Eric Cantor the idea to not raise the debt ceiling, he's the culprit in the Congress that started all this mess, a year and a half ago, whatever. And he's the one who decided, hey, this is what we do to screw everything over that the Democrats are trying to do. And it was mainly Mr. Obama.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that if the Mr. Bushes are referring to themselves by number, to be most accurate, they should really call themselves number one and number two.
Oh, you see what you did there. You made a little bippy joke. Yay! Okay, let's go.
They'll serve that at IKEA.
Richard in, aw, that's close to almost something that you just contributed there.
I know.
Aww.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
Aww. Okay, Richard in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I watch it every morning.
Thank you.
I just got a point I need to get out. I'm a self-exile South Carolinian.
Okay.
And they have a bill on the floor right now, or they're proposing a bill to allow anybody in the state of South Carolina to carry a gun, concealed or not, licensed or not, registered or not.
Yeah.
And I mean, and this thing's getting a lot of backing.
Yeah.
South Carolina's a big tourist state. I told everybody I know that we're either going to become the deadliest state in the nation or the most polite.
Yeah. I mean, Richard, it just, you know, it seems to defy, this is such an emotional issue, it just seems to defy logic that you can look at statistics anywhere around the world. The more guns, guess what? The more gun deaths there are.
Right.
It's not hard to wrap your mind around this kind of logic. I mean, it's just, more guns is always the answer to the gun lobby, and it's...
And now they're putting guns in the hands of 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're indoctrinating them early.
The only thing that would make that better? Alcohol. Guns in the hands of drunken toddlers.
So now people have to wander into the school. The kids can shoot each other.
There you go. Yeah, oh, so. Boy. Okay. By the way, gun comments, the Oscar Pistorius case.
Yeah.
Some gun issues involved in that, too, and some controversy. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making more people spit coffee on themselves than any other radio show in America. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on his way in for Hump Days with Hal Sparks next hour. Let's go to Martha in Albuquerque. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Martha.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'm thinking that the Benghazi thing was actually a Republican October surprise. Benghazi is a big oil depot. And somebody like David Koch is a big oil man. And I think they just wanted to do it to put Mr. Obama in a losing position.
Didn't work.
Huh. All right. Well, how's that working out for them? All right. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, I don't know what Brian Kilmeade sees inside his head, but I bet you can distract him with bright colors and simple shapes. A baby's play school mobile. A baby's play school mobile would keep him busy for hours.
Oh, colors.
I bet you that's how Mrs. Kilmeade distracts him when he gets agitated.
Oh, it's a bunny.
Okay, just to calm him.
I can't imagine what happens to him when they sit down at a restaurant, you know, where you can color with crayons on the paper on the table.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Ooh,
By the way,
stop coloring outside the lines.
Okay. The genesis of this whole bit, this morning long bit, is that Brian Kilmeade seemed startled by president's, you know, campaigning and fundraising.
The president's real goal, and it really makes sense. This isn't a rumor. He's getting money together, picked up the phone and called Nancy Pelosi, says, my goal is to make you speaker again. So the next 2 years, he's going to be spending campaigning, raising money to the tune of $50 million.
That never happens anywhere. Money? What? In campaign? Politics? In politics? Oh, God.
He has a, you know what? Some people have an overstartled response, and that's okay.
Bless his heart.
Just saying, sun up and sundown, particularly.
Where'd the bright thing go? It's
trying
dark.
Times for Mrs. Kilmeade. Okay. Remember, honey? That happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Yep. Went down
every
again.
Day?
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Sometimes there are clouds, though.
Huh?
Clouds!
Sometimes
there are
clouds.
Does he start screaming ball of fire back? Do you think that's what... Okay, honey. Right. Yes. Yes. Morning again. Remember? Morning.
There's water falling
morning.
From the sky!
Ooh, look, honey. Over here. Lucky Charms. Come here.
They're magically delicious.
Yes, they are, sweetie. All right. All right.
So set him in the corner with a cootie game and just put together Mr. Potato Head. Keep him occupied for hours.
He is. He's endlessly fascinated with the tides, with the, you know, the seasons, the changing of the seasons. He probably, yeah. Okay, so we were talking about, what? Okay, oh, were you finding the ocean again? Yeah. Jim, I'm sorry.
Oh, the water's going away.
Right.
Oh, it came back.
Oh, yep.
Oh, it's going away.
Yep.
Oh, it came back.
Yes. Right. Remember we discussed that last time we were at the beach? Okay. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Bathroom break for you? Okay.
Oh, look where the water go.
Yes.
Where did the water go?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, it's coming back.
Oh, yes. There it is again. Okay.
Poor little fella.
Okay, kids, run. Get mommy a... One of the orange pills, one of the green ones again. Okay.
Look at mommy's Thorazine.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. So we were talking about gun issues that came up again. I was talking about Interesting. Gun comments split the family of Oscar Pistorius. Did you hear about this? A public feud erupted within the family of Oscar Pistorius, the WMPT Olympian charged with murdering his girlfriend. His father apparently was talking about needing guns because the government doesn't protect white Africans or something.
Something.
I think he shot his girlfriend. I'm just saying. I think he did it on purpose, but okay.
I don't know. That is not enough.
Really? All right. Well, his dad and the Pistorius family issued a statement saying the family's deeply concerned about the father's interview that doesn't represent the views of Oscar or the rest of the Pistorius family, because obviously he's trying to, I think, bolster the storyline that, oh, he was afraid for his life because there's crime in South Africa and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
I'm just saying the whole thing doesn't add up to me, but okay. All right. We were talking yesterday about Ashley Judd. You know, they are really scared of Ashley Judd, which is awesome because what was the the Daily Caller? People are calling it slut shaming. They're trying to say, oh, because she's been naked in movies once.
Yeah. They seem to have forgotten that that Scott Brown showed his schwanz.
Right. So is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good God.
Zoinks. And let me just say, you know, the roids. Okay. Just saying, little shrinky dinks.
I thought you meant hemorrhoids.
What? No, no, no.
Someone tweeted that.
Raw story. Raw story saying, I think it's settled. The Daily Caller is a publication run by a bunch of people who just discovered yesterday that sex exists, and they cannot get over how disgusted they are by the entire thing. They have run an article shaming Ashley Judd, who's considering, of course, running against Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. She has been in films with nudity. Daily Coast writer, Raw Story writing, clearly the Daily Caller staff does struggle to understand the simple mechanics of clothing versus nudity, because the premise of this slut-shaming horse is that it's normal to assume, because you haven't seen the rest of the Senate naked, it's safe to assume they're without genitals or secondary sex characteristics. Long story short, the amount of panic displayed by conservatives, the mere thought of Ashley Judd's run should be evidence enough they really do think she has a chance. She should run and see what comes of it.
The rest of the Senate is just a bunch of Ken doll smoothies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Just no genitals of any kind. And there's some of them that I just pictured, and that was horrifying. Never mind. I won't say who.
What does a turtle's genitals look like?
No. Oof. Just, I don't know. They're always in the shell.
They're always in the shell. No one knows. I've never seen it.
I can't believe we're talking about Mitch McConnell.
Do you have the thing about the thing? Do you have the thing about the thing?
The thing about the
yes,
thing?
We do have the
okay.
thing. Oh, look at this.
Sure.
Playboy is launching a Hebrew language edition. What's that? Yes, we checked in with Sid Fleigelman and Boca.
Hi. So now Playboy's being released in Hebrew. Now I get to read all the articles from right to left for a change. Of course, this also means the centerfold will also open from right to left. Which also means I'll have to use my left hand to pleasure my schmeckle. Oi! This is going to be a bit of a learning curve. Oi, I can just plots.
Hey! Hey! All right.
We haven't checked in with Sid Fleigelman and Boca in a long time.
No.
Christ is not dead.
And who's his lovely wife?
Sadie.
Sadie. Sadie Fleigelman. Sure. Okay, let's hope that the sinkhole has not gotten them.
I know.
Right?
Oi, it's poor another Sadie. Sinkhole already. Where are my water wings?
Okay. All right. We have, by the way, sexy liberal Hal Sparks on his way in studio live, Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets, I'm told, going very, very quickly for April 13th. It's coming up. It's like in a month. April 13th, Chicago Theater, Sexy Liberal at the Chicago Theater with Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I. Get it. And Hal Sparks live in just a second here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sexy liberal Hal Sparks on the way in. Traffic report, the 101's terrible.
Yeah.
If you're here in L.A.
According to Hal.
This is news.
But he'll be here shortly. He's going to talk to Sig Fleigelman the rest of the... You were wondering what about Jackie Schechter?
When is Jackie Schechter going to appear in the Hebrew Playboy in the centerfold? Because you can't have all shixes in there.
No. We'll ask Jackie about that. Okay.
I'm sure she'll get right
sure
on
she'll be thrilled. Okay.
I'm thinking no.
No. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like we do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They're amazing. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For my special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter that promo code, Stephanie, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I already did.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
No, off to you.
All
off
right.
To you.
Oh, no, please, go
thank
ahead.
You. Thank
all
you.
All right.
After you. Oh, no, you first. Thank you.
Okay, I would go ahead and get tickets to April 13th, Sexy Level Chicago.
What?
Very exciting. Hal Sparks on his way in. Tickets going very fast. Coming up in a month. Very exciting. All right. We were talking about... So we've been talking about Taylor Swift. Did you see the... So Tina Fey and Amy Poehler made a couple of, like, very mild jokes about her, you know, dating history.
Which has been a little...
chaotic.
Right.
Rocky.
Right. And so she, what did she say? She basically said they're going to burn in hell. Quoted. So there's a special place in hell for women that don't help other women.
Whatever.
So we'll just say that she's speed dating.
Right. Right. And buying houses next to guys she's dating. Not that she's clingy or insane. She wants you to know.
But she's kind of clingy and insane.
Hi. What are you doing? She's like the neighbor on Tim Allen's show.
Well, she's always listening for, you know, material for her next song.
Yeah. Why would anybody in their right mind date her now?
Okay, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who I think should host everything in the history of ever.
Right.
They have responded to Taylor Swift's quotes in Vanity Fair, in which she's she had talked about there being a special place in hell for them. Tina Fey said, if anyone was going to get mad, I thought it would be James Cameron. In reference to the job, that it must have been torture for Zero Dark 30 director Kathleen Bigelow to have been married to him. That was funny. She said, as for Swift's response, I did not see that one coming. It was a joke. It was meant to be lighthearted. Amy Poehler said, aw, I feel bad if she was upset. I'm a feminist and she's a young and talented girl. That being said, I do agree I'm going to hell, but for other reasons, mostly boring tax stuff.
That was funny.
All right, Gina Davis has weighed in on Seth MacFarlane. There's a big boob dispute. This will not go away, the boob dispute.
We saw your boobs.
We saw you.
It was a catchy song. It was
old.
Funny.
I am old and yet immature, so I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Especially the Kate Winslet part.
Exactly.
Right. Academy Award winner Gina Davis waded into the ongoing controversy, saying that he thought the routine was disrespectful to women, particularly the performers who were being honored.
I think she'd feel better if she showed her boobs. Is that not helping?
I'm an old lady with a panel, but I hang around with immature guys.
With a couple
so
of boobs.
I'm just like, hey.
We saw your boobs
right
on current TV.
No, no one's seen them. They're concave. Okay.
Us, the boobs.
Oh, right. See, right.
I was riffing
for your boobs.
A panel of boobs. Okay. All right. I see. You see my boobs every day.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
All right, got it.
Thank God.
Barbara Walters to Maria Shriver to replace me. No way! The 83-year-old View co-host who's had some mishaps. A concussion and hello, the chicken pox. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, itchy, itchy, itchy. Squatchy, squatchy, squatchy.
Scritch, 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 scritch.
Oh, I'm so itchy. She is livid that her ABC bosses are already
livid.
Eyeing her replacement.
She's livid.
Oh, yeah, Schwaber. Swoey upturned. I will give her chicken pox.
Did you see how she got chicken pox?
Yes, from Frank Langella. Oh,
really?
And first she wouldn't say who.
Wow. She kissed Frank Langella, and Frank Langella had the chicken pox.
Oh.
Actually, he had something like shingles.
Well,
shingles,
yeah,
which
shingles
is the same
is a
virus,
version.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
It's
but it's
really
a lot more painful.
It's very painful, yeah.
She actually was back on The View. She said, after a lot of squatching.
Which had to be Frank Langella.
I should get her some cedar side. I just picked her up just kind of. Well,
I don't think that
works. No, that wouldn't work on
shingles.
No. No.
That,
okay.
That gets
well,
rid of
my
fleas.
Dog's itch, it works. Right.
It gets rid of fleas, but it doesn't get rid of pox.
Do you think she's also scooching her butt on the floor a lot? Or no. Okay. She said, I'm fine and I'm healthy.
And this would be different how?
Anyway, she said, first of all, she wouldn't say who it was, a well-known actor who shall remain nameless. who then became Frank Langella.
Frank Langella.
Oh, Frank Langella. You guys need to check on blocks. I gave him a New Year's hug and a kiss on the cheek. The next day he left. What he didn't know then, and I didn't know at all, was that he was about to develop a bad case of shingles,
mm-hmm.
which is the same,
same virus.
Yeah, exactly. Itchy, itchy, itchy. Okay, speaking of anchor peoples, Harrison Ford has signed on for Anchorman 2.
Which is the awesome.
He will play a legendary, newscaster.
Like a legendary newscaster. Who's really excitable. I'm sorry you had to see me like this.
You know what? It's about time I think he poked fun at himself.
Yeah.
I think he's at that stage of his career. He's taken himself too seriously mm-hmm. for too long. I think this is going to be a really good career
move.
It's like
an elder state, like a Tom Brokaw kind of.
Yeah, Tom Brokaw.
Right.
Formerly of NBC Nightly News.
That'd be funny if he did Jim's Tom Brokaw impression. All right, a shout out
to Classy, San Diego.
The Call Me Maybe singer, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Carly Rae Jepsen,
as the kids call her. She's the singer. Call Me Maybe. She won't be calling the Boy Scouts back. She's canceled a planned performance over the Scouts' ban on gay individuals.
Yep.
Oh. I love it.
And you know who also pulled out? Train.
Hmm.
Seriously, they pulled out of the jamboree because of the Boy Scouts.
Something weird and dirty about that. Train going into a tunnel. Train pulling out. Something. Okay. Your dad was holding red chains. I love the song. Wow. OMG, I love it.
Here it comes.
Here we go. Hey, I just met you.
All right.
Okay.
Here comes the auto-tune.
Oh, my God. Speaking of... Call me.
Steffi.
Oh, heavy breathing right there. Why? Could it be?
Uh-huh.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
So, good morning. It's sorry, I just came from a Taylor Swift recording session. We were up all night breaking up because she got a deadline at 2
o'clock. I understand. It's hard to do.
It was interesting. She.
Don't you feel like if you had a guy friend, you'd just be like, "Run, you're a song.
No. Be immortalized." I at a certain point, if you're going to be immortalized in song, very rarely is it going to be in a good way.
Yeah.
The best you can hope for is "You're So Vain."
Nick sang on that and was about.
Except for Adele. Adele wishes the best for you.
Yeah, but as you burn in hell,
right.
I suppose.
Yeah. Well,
is the subtext there. And I think basically you have the, you ought to know to.
Right.
Yeah. I hope you're doing well songs.
Yeah.
It's your arc. I'm going 80, 92% that kind
right.
of all negative X songs.
Right.
Yeah. Unless you're dead, which is the other
right.
part of it. You know,
sure.
And then there's like six songs, decent songs, I think about. Well, they're dead, but if they were alive, they'd be awesome to hang with still.
That you're right. Alanis Morissette, that was particularly, you're like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Even the way she said, do you scream my name
right.
when you...
Yes.
I was like, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
That was like a really forceful F-bomb.
I wouldn't want to be Dave Coulier after that.
Wow.
No way.
But I would like to know what theater that is.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Where can you get that with your...
Probably when Fred Willard hangs out.
Yeah, totally. And Paul Rubens.
Mm-hmm.
But
hey,
anyways.
Now.
Hello, Hal.
Hi. On that note, good morning.
Good morning.
That's the way I like to start my day, is emotional devastation put into song and comedy.
Let's bring it... magically full circle, because I needed you in the first hour. Because
yes, this is always true.
There's a poll, but it's online, and I think it's not as reliable, but it's saying the president's approval rating and Democrats are being brought down with Republicans over the fiscal.
But the Republicans are dropping as well, according to this poll.
Dropping heavier. I mean, it's an online poll. You
right.
can't... There right now is no mechanic, per se, that can...
And I'm really surprised that Reuters even reported this as news.
I'm not surprised at anything anymore.
No.
Like, what is
it's
literally...
It's just irresponsible to report an online poll
that
as news.
I agree with.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely.
Thank you,
Chris.
Sir.
My lack of surprise has nothing to do with your logic, but with the sorry
but
state
you know,
of journalism in our country.
Paul Begala, we were reading a piece, he's echoing the thing about Obama should have this, that, whatever, but should have known the kind of Republicans he was dealing with. Because he quoted him from back before this happened that, they're not going to let this happen. I believe that Republicans are not going to let this end.
Yeah, well.
And I think it is hard to underestimate overestimate the awfulness of this particular group of Republicans.
I would go so far as to say I don't think he is. I don't think it's lost on him. I think he's very aware of the awfulness he's dealing with. I think the reality, though, is That's who he is dealing with, no matter whether he'd like it or not. Yeah. Whether he made a good deal or a bad deal, they're going to vote against it. So to some degree, at this point, the difference in tactic is I used to make a reasonable deal with people who are evil. Now I realize they're evil, so I'm going to start making a good deal and things that I know will make me look great because I met them more than halfway, but they're going to vote against it anyways because I am who I am. And it'll end up helping. And it, regardless of that particular online poll, polls are showing exactly that the country is seeing the president as being someone really reasonable, trying to govern like an adult, which is something there's a hunger for, and Republicans looking like they all call Brian Kilmeade in the middle of the night.
What should I do, Brian?
What?
I
don't know. Honey, it's the jangly thing
again. The machine
again.
Is making that noise again.
What's this noise?
Yeah.
I've never... What?
He has to roll over and nudge Bill O'Reilly to yell at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what Brian Kilmeade is, Jim? It just occurred to me. Chester, my old St. Bernard, remember?
That's right.
Jim would come over for years, and Chester never... It's Jim.
The dog
Jim.
And up.
Squirrel!
Yes.
Well, for years, it took an exact same amount of time for Chester to stop barking, because he never recognized Jimmy. We just stand right in front of him doing that.
I disagree. I think he did recognize Jim. I just, after a while, he gave up on the fact that you're going to keep inviting him over.
Well, he was perpetually, there was no way...
I'm trying
way.
To warn you. Right. I've told you many times, this man is evil. Look at what he surfs for on the internet. Get him.
Why won't you listen to me? I don't even know why.
He's reading Playboy in Hebrew. He doesn't even speak Hebrew.
Right.
I don't know why I even bothered with the no, but it went on for years. It was like a skit. Chester, no. No, 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 no. Jim, no, no, no.
And that was Jim making the noise.
All right. 18
trying to talk to him.
After the hour, right back. More Hump Days with sexy little Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Don't make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me lose my cool. Up in here.
Up in where?
Up in here.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour up in here. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hot Bree in the city. Yeah. Elizabeth Fitzgerald is watching us, and she says we look good in HD.
Current doesn't have...
I don't know about me, but...
Current
Hal looks good in every light, in every kind of...
Hal, it's called video. Hal definition.
That's right.
So they don't have HD on current, so they bring in Hal, and now they have Hal definition.
That's right.
Brings an extra cut to the... Thank you. The camera finally drifted over to me. It took that long. How long do I have to hold that pose?
He just willed the camera to him.
Seriously, I'm getting one of those pinchy tendons that Stallone has permanently.
Yeah.
Now.
That was like, what's the thing? Blue Thunder? What's the modeling, the male modeling movie? Blue Steel.
Blue Steel. Blue Thunder is with Roy Scheider. It's arguably the first anti-drone movie, even though it's a helicopter that's piloted by a human being in live. They're going to use military weapons on the public.
Movie?
Remember when there was outrage about that enough to make a movie?
What was the movie I was thinking of? The male modeling movie.
Zoolander.
Zoolander, right.
Yes.
Wow. He did. He just did Blue Steel for the camera.
No. Warren Oates said that last sentence. If you're going to be walking on eggshells, don't hop.
Yeah, right. We're reminiscing about old Roy Scheider movies. It's fine.
Speaking of movies, wow. Terrence Howard?
Yeah.
He said, making love to Oprah Winfrey is a life-changing experience. So says Terrence Howard, who claims the best part of doing a sex scene with Oprah in his upcoming movie was her tig-old bitties.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you say that about Oprah? They had a love-making scene in The Butler, slated for release later this year.
Well, all right.
She has tig-old bitties.
And you wonder why he didn't make it into Iron Man 2. Probably that interview where he referred to Jeff Bridges as Tig Old Biddies.
Genie in Ohio.
Not good business.
No, you didn't. Not since James Fry. There'd been such an awkward encounter with Oprah. Genie in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Genie.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
It's nice to talk to you again. I wanted to comment on the hypocrites that the Republicans are, that they're going after Ashley Judd because of her posing nude in a movie.
We saw her boobs.
And, right. And the fact that Scott Brown, you know, right. did a new...
he showed his bits.
I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, what... These people are unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, well, that is a double standard.
And it's a spectacular it's double standard, and I'm right. glad it exists. That we basically honor with discretion the female body more so than we do the male body, and I think that's smart. Otherwise, nothing would ever get done. But
where
that
do
being
fall, where
said...
Where do you fall on the We Saw Your Boobs controversy? Gina Davis checked in today. She's offended. Jane Fonda was offended.
Well, I think it's absurd, but you got to think about the party we're dealing with. This is the party of John Ashcroft, who covered up
yeah.
a statue's
yeah.
breast
oh, that's
on the late
party of little children.
I was talking about the Oscars. That one. That
I know. That's what I mean. But okay. in this situation, that they're so easily offended by the naked yeah. breast. Which, by the way, the studies have shown off the charts that if families that have like homes that have art that has some mild nudity in it or whatever, like old right. classic art, that kind of stuff. There's less sexual dysfunction in families that grow up with a comfort around normal nudity.
You
then,
grew up, my mother did naked headstands.
Sure, right, and you're
right.
messed up. But I'm saying
right.
just art, like, on the walls, simple stuff.
Can I come here and watch Daddy shave? Yes.
Yeah.
There were nudists a little bit.
His feet. But the point is that you have very low levels of sexual dysfunction. But in families that are really wound up and like mm-hmm. no nudity, everything
right.
is so harsh, you have tremendous amounts of sexual dysfunction. And that entire party
right.
is the most sex negative party that's, I think, ever existed.
Right.
I guess
right.
post 1200s.
Look at the phenomenon of preacher's kids.
Right. That's what I mean.
Right.
1300. Any, mm-hmm.
yeah.
It's only made me aspire to that level of nakedness. In
oh,
my
yeah,
own life,
right.
I just have not achieved that.
Right. Well, in our, in growing up in Peaks Mill, if there was a girl who was like from one of the Baptist families
right.
who couldn't dance, who couldn't, had to wear a dress below her knees to school and all that stuff, that was the one you were going to get to sleep with if you really wanted to give it a run. You know what I mean? The rest
right.
of them, you'd have to actually talk to them and develop a personality. But anybody
you
with that
found
out.
You grew up in the Footloose Barn, didn't you?
I did.
Yes, you did.
I did.
Let's hear it for the boys.
That was about me.
Little Hal out driving around looking for preacher's daughter.
Yeah. You're Chris Penn.
Yeah, totally. I beg your pardon. Chris Penn. I'll have you know I was the breakdancing kid at the end who got one little moment in the sun before the glitter was thrown. Officially, that was my part, including the
Hal getting glitter bombed in Kentucky. That's
me, man.
That's a teenage Hal doing some
breakdancing.
The breakdancing kid
right.
at the end?
Right,
walking,
I
that's
know.
Me.
Okay, yeah.
Awesome.
I even learned that chin push move, the whole.
Awesome.
Which you can only appreciate
okay.
on current TV.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on.
Ding.
Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Two things. One is I used to work with a photographer doing proms many moons ago, and it was the Catholic schools where there was the most crazy sex, drinking, and acting out.
Oh, totally.
Just thought I'd say that.
Yeah.
I did. I do college tours, and I'll do stand up at colleges. And I did one show. It was kind of weird because at the last minute they went, we're kind of a religious school, which was really an odd way of phrasing it.
Yeah.
Religious school. And we'd appreciate it if you not, you can swear a little, but keep it PG-13 and no F-bombs and blah, blah, blah. And anybody who's seen my special knows that's a big request. You got to do that a month in advance. But I did my best. I walked up on stage. They were the drunkest, rowdiest,
of course.
Flashingest crowd.
Bunch of preacher's daughters. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, look.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, Mr. Beaver.
Hello. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Sexy
That's
Liberal.
That's Mr. Beaver to you.
Hal Sparks, thank you. Let's go to Phil in Boston. You're on with Hal. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Mama.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello, panel.
Yes.
Panel?
Lady in the panel.
That's right. Call me siding, actually.
I got two things. One serious, one just for fun. Number one, you know, when we got the rates on the top 1% raised from 35 to 39, it really is window dressing without closing the loopholes. They weren't paying the 35% to begin with. Number two, my girlfriend just reminded me that the panel is part of a lady's underwear. And that if you're going to have a panel, make sure it's 100% cotton.
Cotton, there we go. So that you don't get...
Thank you. No chafing. Thank you.
Well, we are an organic panel. Well, I am. I can't speak for Jim. But
thank you.
Yes,
appreciate
this is an organic panel for the most part.
All right. We've been talking about, you know, the we saw your boobs thing, the Ashley Judd running for the Senate, the slut shaming. We've been talking about sex ed. You know who wants to call and chime in? Yeah. Our good friend. Here she is, Melissa Fitzgerald. Good morning, sweetness.
Hello. I have terrible cell phone reception.
I know, because
you
moved.
Me?
You moved to my neighborhood, and I told you you have the wrong cell.
So you're
service.
Standing on top of the Hollywood sign, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But so we were talking about sex ed, and you had a you just texted me a thought.
I did just text you a thought. I think the GOP needs to wake up. Sex education works to create abstinence.
That's right.
I had extensive sex education in my school. In fact, it was very controversial at the time. And I never have sex, so it worked for me.
Yeah, that just harsh Jim's buzz like you don't even know. When you just said the word sex, he went, mm.
But when you do have it, it's of a high...
It's going to be explosive.
Yeah. Right. High quality. Right. High quality, high calorie.
Right. It's hot brie exploding everywhere. Just, what?
It sounds like a French restaurant
on fire.
That's your stripper
name.
Huh? I understand.
So now, hot brie. We were talking about, first of all, who is it that just chimed in? Gina Davis.
P.S. I'm just saying, being from the South, yes. I qualify as a cracker. So,
right.
Hot brie, cracker.
Hot brie and crackers. Hello.
We could break the streak, is what I'm saying. No.
She meant in school she didn't have sex. She's had sex since then, I assume, right?
No.
No, she means now.
No,
she
no,
was
she means
now.
She
I
means
was listening.
Ever, waiting for help.
No,
okay.
I'm talking about now.
Unlike you, I listen to women.
What?
Nothing. He's just that was he was snapping on me. Now, hot brie. We were talking about Gina Davis chimed in on. She was also offended by the I saw your boobs thing, and we talked about that a little bit. What was your take on it?
Well, at the time, I think I'd had a couple of glasses of wine, so I didn't really...
Right. You were drunk at my house with me watching the Oscars, so we don't really remember it. But right.
Looking back at it, I think I have mixed feelings about it, because I actually did think it was kind of funny. But what made me sadder was I think that it's a comment on our business, and I think as women, that's sort of part of your... the expectation if you're going to have a career. It feels like you kind of have to do that.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there is a double standard there. But you're somebody that you might run for, you know, obviously a lot of people in Pennsylvania urging you to run for Congress or whatever. So you've got to have a take on this Ashley Judd thing, because they're really going after her and she hasn't even declared yet.
Yeah, well, I think that's terrible. I think it's absolutely terrible. And, you know, back a couple of years ago when we were just talking about the possibility of my running, somewhere, you know, a picture of me from some movie premiere and said the thought of her running is titillating.
Oh, my.
But Jim would say.
Jim, sad news.
Put that up about a guy. You would never put that up about a man. And so I think it's really unfair, and I think she's fantastic. She's done so many things on human rights, and she's helped so many people and spoken out on issues. She's intelligent. She's capable. I think she'd be great. I think she should go for it, and I think she should call all this stuff out.
But and you better give Jim the bad news now. There are no naked photos of Melissa Fitzgerald. There is nothing. She's not been topless in anything, Jim. Not even at my house. Drunk at the Oscar party.
I've got a pretty
Trust
good imagination.
Me, I asked, but no.
Oh, yeah. But you know, the Italian Parliament had an actual porn star, Cicolina.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And we were saying the biggest thing that will hurt you, hot brie. That they will bring that up. And let me just say, Newsbusters, it is a joke. Melissa Fitzgerald has never been a stripper. She just made a hot brie dish for one of my parties. And so we made a joke that was her stripper name.
You're under the false assumption, operating under the false assumption, I'm assuming that Newsmax, once they are corrected, or Newsbusters, will fix it.
They're writing it down now. They're like, right, Melissa Fitzgerald, not a stripper. Okay, let me write that down so that we can be accurate when she does run. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they're making fun of me for hot breed, and they probably aren't looking at other stuff. So that's good.
There you go. We'll be in charge of distracting them from your real dirt.
Ooh, shiny keys.
Ooh, look over there. Ooh, something Brian Kilmeade could be just startled by. All right. Hot Bree, I'll stop by for your unpacking party later. Love you.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Love you guys.
All
bye.
Right. I've got her unpacking service. It's a housewarming gift. She just moved near me.
That's
lovely.
Good girl. So,
Jim offered to just go unpack her unmentionables.
Yes, so it's good.
Just that box.
No.
I don't spend a lot of time on that particular
right.
box.
See, I don't...
stop sniffing them. Jim, where do I put these?
So my girlfriend
on your head,
deals
Jim.
With the fact that like she has a lot of sexy underwear, but I just don't care. I'm such a nude.
It's just an
thing.
Impediment.
It's just in the way. It might as well be a suit of armor. I don't care. You're so lovely under there. Just get it out of the way. And lace, don't get me started. I can't even breathe when I touch that nonsense. That's ridiculous.
Today's meme, things Brian Kilmeade is startled by because he's startled by fundraising.
Squirrel!
Right, and squirrels. Right.
A fundraising squirrel. Now, that would be startling.
Things that surprise Brian Kilmeade. Number one, dryer lint. Pop-up toasters. Oh, that must be
it. Oh!
Again!
I did it again!
Oh!
Math. Did you hear that one?
Yeah.
You see that one? They got the lovely kids at Fox and Friends got schooled by a bunch of kids on just basic math.
Yes. That's hilarious.
How the refrigerator knows when to turn the light on when you open the door.
Ooh, look, it did it again. How does it know? Hot water bottles.
And then there's some other things I shouldn't say.
No, don't say. I saw.
All right. What? Okay. That's fine.
Hmm.
Let's go to Mike in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I called Grumpy McCain's office this morning, and I spoke with a real nice young guy named Daniel, and I said, I know Mr. McCain's really upset about the whole Benghazi thing. And he said, yes, he is. He's really upset about it. I said, but where was his, outrage when there were 53 Americans dying in foreign embassies under Bush?
Uh-huh.
And his answer was,
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, I'll have to gather that information and get it back to you. I'll
try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
But to Reagan's credit, he did invade Grenada because
right.
there were two Cubans there with pickaxes.
Exactly. Right. Got those guys. Bam. Tom in Santa Monica, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Ed.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning, everyone. I just had a quick comment about the Ashley Judd versus all the Republican senators that are selling out almost as prostitution to the wealthy. And it just seems extremely hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And ironically, yes.
And right. Right wing hypocrite.
It's so rare.
Well, the reality is that, like, and I'm from Kentucky. This is,
right.
This is a state that masks as conservative and runs on a completely.
Yeah.
And 60s level liberal, because literally if you removed, and I talked about this on Larry King's show, I've talked about it in Chronic, the history of marijuana in the country that was on the History Channel, Kentucky would collapse without the cash crop of marijuana. the unfortunate reality that without that
collapse,
money running
like in an
through,
actual sinkhole?
Well,
economic.
Yes, not Florida style, but it would literally, the economy would take such a huge dive if it weren't for the underground pot
Sounds
trade.
Like a model for the whole country.
Yeah, right. Well, kind of exactly. If you fly over Kentucky, big parts of it, if you look at the fields from the air, all the cornfields, bright green, and then this dark green center. Why does the cornfield look like a donut, Mama?
It must just
why,
be not right
why
yet.
Why is the corn in the center and
it's
perfect?
Crop
square,
circle. It's space
gets darker.
Aliens. Don't worry
the
about
way the sun's hitting it. Or
Mary in West Virginia, you're on with Hal. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Stephanie. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, I want to weigh in on this Mitch McConnell and the Republicans and about Ashley Judd.
Yep.
Well, number one, they're always bitching about wanting to hear see transparency. Well, you can't get much more transparent than that, can you?
Well, you certainly know.
The imagination. Right. And the second thing is, Mitch McConnell shows his ass every day, so what's wrong with her showing her tits?
Oh, well,
whoa.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Did you get that current? Okay. Well, we.
To some degree.
She's salty.
Yes. certainly to some degree she's right. I think one of the problems that we have as liberals and progressives is that when somebody says something like that, the follow-up is offense as opposed to, all right, nutbag, explain to me what's dirty about the human body.
Right.
Explain to me why, and in the context of how she did it, what's dirty about it? Was it the fact that it was consensual sex shown on screen?
Yeah.
Because you don't have a problem with somebody having their brains blown all over a bathroom
wall
with a gun.
Well, I did get the one criticism that some of the women that Seth MacFarlane mentioned, they were in rape scenes, that they you know, showed their boobs. It's just, there was a little, that part I understand.
No,
the
Jodie Foster one.
Right.
The accused, right. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Yeah. I don't know if he followed up with a too soon one on that one, because that movie was 87?
80.
Oh, and by the way, we apologize. The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes for yesterday's joke that Eleanor Roosevelt...
It's a, showy whore.
A showy whore.
Oh. Yeah.
Someone pointed out too soon.
Too
Not
soon.
Our joke. It was Rude Pundit said it.
Yeah.
Well,
too soon.
To be expected from Rude Pundit.
Right.
But the point is, I do think that when it comes to certain, especially the social arguments, we tend to back down when we're talking to the Mitch McConnells of the world or the Fox and Friends stand up and they say they shouldn't. This is for the children. Like, well, then explain to me what's horrible about this versus what you're cool with.
Yeah.
And then my favorite part is we don't want the government to tell me what to do with my life. I'm free to live. Nanny state. The Democrats always want a nanny state. First time gun violence. You know what we need to fix? Movies and video games. That's the first thing a nanny does is take away your movie and your video game. What are you giving me a timeout, Republicans? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're doing? You don't want to solve the actual problem.
And yet they're putting guns in the hands of 4-year-olds.
Exactly.
But actual ones, not toy guns.
They
yeah.
literally, why is somebody who's running for office, who played, they would have no problem with an actor who played a serial killer running for office if he, you know, killed people, shot them in the head and stuff. They would never bring that up as the reason not to vote for them. But if a woman in a consensual sex scene or portraying a rape victim to show the aftermath legally, what happens when someone tries to report a rape, all the storylines that have been followed on that, that's somehow offensive.
Ooh, yes. We saw her boobs.
Yeah, that's inherently offensive.
Right. 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments, Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Boom, boom. Yeah. I see what you're doing because the House T Rex bit. We're doing 51 minutes after
that
the hour.
That is a reach, though. That's
right?
A reach.
Well, because you believe in science.
Yes, that's true.
Right.
But
she's your human.
Pardon me.
What? Hmm?
Something like that.
Yes.
Why, Ms. Sakamoto, you're beautiful. I love the insertion of Stephanie Miller into your favorite songs of the 80s, 90s, and beyond. But some of them are rich, and I think that qualifies.
Why am I saluting science? Because this is huge. In a medical first, a baby with HIV is deemed cured, which we have not had a chance to talk about.
She's 2.5 years old, second person fully that's been functionally cured after that man in Germany.
Right.
Who basically had a giant oil change.
Medically speaking. Right.
Yeah.
Doctors announced on Sunday a baby had been cured of an HIV infection for the first time, a startling development that could change how infected newborns are treated and sharply reduce the number of children living with the virus that causes AIDS.
That's awesome.
We've talked about this before, Hal, but my high school boyfriend died of AIDS. Like, you know, a lot of us grew up in the period where they're pre-cocktail, pre-all of that. You brought up Reagan earlier, and just saying, some people...
There I went again.
May have ignored that whole...
Oh, they didn't ignore it.
I'd always said if it had made rich white Republican men's fall off, they would have cured that overnight. They would have.
They did cure that. That was actually a real disease.
Really?
Back in 1949.
Yeah. Falling off disease?
It was cured by Wednesday at noon. It happened
Tuesday
night.
Just, oops, there goes my...
Yeah, it was highly contagious.
There goes my... Okay, it's cured.
And although...
Done.
Although you have to give props to C. Everett Koop. He fought it urge people to put condoms on at least, during the Reagan administration. You know, he fought Reagan on that to say that.
And then Clinton's, the Surgeon General, the Clinton Surgeon General, who lost her job for mentioning masturbation.
Exactly.
At the point, don't have sex before
Jocelyn
you just...
Jocelyn Elders.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, Jocelyn, yeah.
We must teach our children how to masturbate.
Yeah, like, it's okay.
And
she lost her job over that.
They freaked out over that.
They lost their...
Well, teach them about
Right, about it. That's what she meant, not how.
You need to teach them how.
No, you should, by the way, you should be allowed to develop your own technique.
Right,
however
right.
However poorly
you know what?
And ill-advised
that's a freestyle.
Might be.
That's a freestyle sport.
Absolutely,
you know
yeah.
what? There's no rules.
What would you know about that?
You know what? I've gotten a lot better at it. I have, you know, I know that's a revelation here on
wow.
the Stephanie Miller Show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you finally figured out you don't think about yourself.
Right.
You
think about other people.
Right. I know. I am not attracted to myself.
She thought about herself, so she couldn't.
Well,
I didn't think about myself. Okay.
Well, you said you didn't find yourself attractive. So
right,
you're
right.
obviously thinking about yourself.
Yes. That was a joke.
You're doing it wrong.
I'm saying it is different
in
chicks.
In Steph's defense, it is hard to look up things on the internet and not come across a video of her having sex. So she's probably, yeah. she's, you know, there's no non-Steph porn in her computer.
No, I'm just, I was saying it's different for chicks because you can't. It's hard to think of fictional
tough.
Things,
yeah.
but then if you
How
think of
you
someone you've been with, it's too
self-involved.
Sad, and then you start crying because you're like,
what?
Don't you think of a hot chick like in the movies or something?
Chicks don't work that way.
Yeah, they do.
Not really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you don't. That sounds like your hang-up.
So masturbation makes you cry.
Yeah, this is not... I had a friend who was gay, and when he came out, he was like, I don't know that I want to be gay. He was having a real hard time with it, and I went... dude, I'm actually not that sure you're gay because everybody you date looks exactly like you. I think you're just self-involved
right.
and want to sleep with yourself, and you've just found a way to externalize it. I'm not because well, gay to me says you love that other person. I don't think that's what's going on.
It was like a Brian Jones and Anita Pallenberg
exactly.
in the 60s.
Right.
They had the same haircut and the same clothes.
Right. Just different plumbing.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, that's a commercial where the father's teaching the son how to throw the ball.
Oh yeah, well,
oh yeah,
really.
That's Guy.
See?
Yeah, he's with my yeah. agent.
Right,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Masturbation, freestyle. There's no wrong way to do it.
As
no
long
rules.
As
yes, there is, but you know.
Okay.
If they're
find out on your own,
but it only has to feel good to one person.
Mm-hmm.
okay.
Yes, your
if
ex.
They're using a threshing
no.
machine as a
masturbatory aid, that's wrong.
That's wrong. Right. Nothing,
at least you can't say stupid things to yourself. You can't be
properties.
Like, what? Oh, now you ruined it. What? Now, oh. Now you know what? I like talking. Now you're talking too dirty. Now you ruined it.
Could have done without the filthy whore part.
Right, okay. You were
say?
Good right up till there. Oh, now get out.
All right. Get out.
Okay.
Get out.
This
get
story, wowee.
What?
Oh. This is just the flood zone, like many restaurants, has a policy requiring all restroom seekers to be paying customers. It also has a policy stating non-customers who insist on using its restroom pay $5 for the privilege. I'm just guessing this restaurant owner is a Republican. Don't know. Patricia Barnes said the Tennessee establishment mailed a handwritten letter to her home address demanding she fork over the restroom fee that she neglected to pay, the $5, because she used the bathroom without eating a meal. That's when the restaurant's owner went into full stalker mode. He contacted the sheriff, asked him to run Barnes' license plate number. The sheriff complied.
What?
Once the owner obtained Barnes' home address, he shot off a quick note detailing her transgression and requesting payment. Despite repeated efforts on Barnes' part to pay the $5 and put the incident in the rearview mirror, the restaurant refused to accept her money. According to Barnes, the owner said it wasn't about the $5. It was about making a point that he is a douche nozzle. Considering what went into tracking Barnes down, it was likely cost taxpayers more than $5 to track her down and run her license plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would, I mean, there's options. Of course, next time she can go outside the establishment, perhaps. Yes. Just any time you're going by there. Just go outside.
Sure, there was a dumpster behind them.
The other thing is just go, I did. I left $5 in the bowl. You didn't get it?
Oops, I might have flushed. Yeah. All right. One sad note before we go. It's just a very personal note for the Stephanie Miller Show. Actress Valerie Harper, who we love, who has been on the show, has been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer and apparently has been told she has 3 months to live. She said, I don't think of dying. I think of being here right now. And she's been on the show many times. And she just could not. Anyone that knows her out here in Hollywood, she could not be nicer and kinder and a wonderful actress and friend and all that. And anyway, we just please send your thoughts and prayers to Valerie Harper on our behalf.
Indeed.
HalSparks.com is
Indeed.
The website.
March 24th at Flappers here in Burbank at the Yoohoo Room. I'm doing a Stage It show, stageit.com. So
Sweet.
Follow me on Facebook. Facebook, the HalSparks Fang page.
Okay.
For all the details. And
April
then on Twitter,
13th, Chicago Sexy Liberal. Tickets going very fast. Get it for that. Please please do the Footloose dance to take us out?
Footloose. Yeah. Which one? The real dancing that he's doing, or the weird
there you go.
That pirouette dancer?
See you tomorrow.
They throw in
on the Stephanie Miller Show.